coming to you live from Pluckett Studios in beautiful Largo, Florida. We are keeping you plugged in with episode 273 of F5 Live, refreshing technology.
This week, Sprint expands the web, HP releases the web, and Microsoft changes the world of media. Say Nick.
Nick!
You did it.
You know, every time I practice.
Almost every time.
Yeah, sometimes I fail.
And sometimes you say it early.
I do a lot of things like that.
Oh my.
You were saying, I changed it up on you. They changed the world of media. I changed the music.
You did. And I like it.
It's all Lukash. It's fine. It's good.
I like his music, and I'm kind of liking the smell.
You know, I was thinking this to myself earlier. It smells almost like the Venetian Hotel, which smells amazing in here. It's a great thing. They say, memory is the closest thing tied to memory or something like that. I feel like I'm back in Vegas.
Memory is the sense most tied to memory.
I don't know how this goes.
In case you didn't know that, now you do.
Scent is the closest sense tied to memory.
There you go.
That's what I meant to say. But you were talking about a smell, and before I lost myself in the
insanity that was
Venetian
whatever
haze
that was.
That is the smell in this room. No, you must be talking about the new tech smell.
I am.
Scott, I think this show right here right here is part of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. I'm Nick.
And I'm Scott.
And we're here.
We are.
That's
I see us.
Just the two of us. Yeah.
Back to normal.
Something like that. As normal can be for us.
Well, I don't know. There's some of that.
But we are here. That's the good news. And wherever you may be and however you may be accessing our show, whether it be Facebook, iTunes, Zoom, F5Live.tv, or any other streaming service, thanks for making us part of your day. But of course, there is one place you can go to get all of the content as it happens on your phone, computer, or soon, Microsoft Surface. That's by going to F5Live.tv, clicking the subscribe buttons over on the right-hand side, audio, video, social, and special events, all there for your content-consuming pleasure.
I have the ability to Vanna White at them again, and not at Robbie, which is kind of nice.
You know, that helps when Robbie, member of the 3K, shout out to Robbie. Robbie!
Ah!
When he's here, we point to him, which is just weird. It makes him feel uncomfortable. But anyway, you can subscribe. Make sure you get all the content as it happens. And that's for our zombie listeners, the ones that listen after the show goes up, which is sometime between Sunday night and Monday morning, depending on when I feel like posting it to you. But there is an incentive for listening live, and it's not because it takes us only an hour to do an hour show instead of four. It's the fact that you can chat with us live in the studio every Sunday night at 9 p.m. Eastern time by going to f5live.tv/join us. And stay tuned in the chat room, exclusive to our live listeners. You won't get this on your RSS feed. The epic award-winning, spine-chilling, bone-tingling, ear-curdling post-plug. Post-plug. For 10 minutes after the show, chat with us off the record. We want to hear from our fans. Well, a lot of things happening.
Ceiling, oscillating.
All of these things apply.
Now, there's a lot of music I'm used to.
A lot of things happening this week. We have PAX was happening.
Yes.
So that was going on. And IFA.
Yep.
That was happening in Berlin, which is the international CES, I suppose.
Yes.
It's the non-onshore version of the same show, to a degree.
Is it produced by CEA?
No.
Oh, well, then there you go.
It's a different thing. But all that's happening. Then next week, we have a bunch of stuff we want to make you privy to right now. And that's the fact that, let's see, we got the Samsung announcement with Windows Phone coming out September, I think it's tomorrow, September 4th, or it's on the 5th. And then Nokia's is on the 5th.
I believe tomorrow is the 3rd.
Is it the 3rd? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Wow. My dates are off. Sorry. Okay, so the 4th will be Samsung's announcement. The 5th is Nokia's announcement. And then on like the 8th is Amazon's announcement. So a lot of stuff happening next week.
Yes, all directly ahead of Apple's announcement of the...
On like the 12th, right?
Possibly worst kept Apple secret yet, the iPad mini.
Well, you forgot about the iPhone 5.6.
Nope. Not going to be part of this announcement.
Oh, good. That's
it's going to be its own separate thing in another month or so, from what we understand.
And speaking of Apple, we had more news out of the Apple stuff. We said we wouldn't talk about it last week. It's this week now. We can.
Yes.
So they're trying to ban more Samsung products.
Yes. Unrelated to the patent infringement case that wrapped up last week.
Right.
This is the ITC, and they have already successfully gotten one device. I don't remember what.
I don't remember which one either, but I know there was one.
They've already successfully gotten one, and they figure, well, off the heels of our last win, let's try and ban the Galaxy S2, Galaxy S3, Galaxy Note, Galaxy Note 10.1.
And the good news is, for the other devices in question, December 6th, it's going to be held off until then, where they rule on, okay, will we actually ban all of those devices in question? So we'll have a lot to see there.
Just in time for the holidays.
Exactly. So buy your devices now.
It has. So just mentioning the threat of possibly losing Samsung devices, Samsung's handset sales are through the roof.
Isn't that great?
On Galaxy S3s.
It made me so happy to hear that.
So, good job, Apple. You have encouraged more people to buy Samsungs.
I don't think it worked the way they wanted it to.
No, probably not. I can't imagine that their goal was to drive more sales to their competitor.
Definitely not.
Maybe.
So,
but probably not.
A lot of other news we got to get into, so let's do that right now. Hey, this week's news from the tubes on F5 Live is proudly powered by Riff Tracks.
Laugh at movies, even if you're not supposed to.
Oh, not that.
The guys who used to do Mystery Science Theater 3000 are back and doing what they do best, making fun of movies, from B-movies, or really, in some cases, D-movies, to blockbusters. They make fun of it all. Warriors of the Wasteland, or Harry Potter and the Half-Blood Prince.
Makes it watchable.
Indeed it does. It makes terrible movies watchable, and watchable movies funny.
Worth watching.
They're pretty wonderful. You, for like $3 or $4, you download an MP3, sync it up with your DVD or Netflix stream now, which is exciting, and laugh and laugh
and laugh.
And from time to time, they do live events, and they've got another one coming up.
Now, this is just coming off of the Epic Award-winning
Monos, the Hands of Fate. Now we have Birdemic, which looks like a pretty terrible movie, and the perfect type of movie to make fun of live in theaters. And it will be October 25th.
Yes.
Live at 7 p.m. on the East... or
8 p.m.
p.m. on the East Coast.
Tape delayed
7 Central, and then Tape Delayed Mountain and Pacific.
Love that. Weird how that works out.
Yeah.
Tape delaying a riff of a
live
movie.
Event.
I don't... whatever. It's fine. It's funny either way, so...
Yeah, their stuff is always funny, and seeing it live in the theater will only be better. So, you can get all of the information about the live and pre-recorded events by going to f5live.tv and clicking the link...
In the center!
For tickets and downloads.
Right there. I see it. There we are. It's just slightly too high off camera. There we are, right there, above my head. For those... listening, it's above my head. That helps.
For those listening.
Now, you can also... Oh, there we are. I should mention this.
Should you mention this?
Maybe. I'm going to talk about this right now. Since this is the next thing on the screen here. So you could Netflix watch instantly on your phone if you had 4G.
You could.
And for most people, if you are on Sprint right now... you can't. It's only available in about 10 cities now. Sprint looks to change that very soon. The first round of true 4G LTE towers going around the nation happened in July. We saw 10 compared to Verizon's 50 or whatever it may have been that went live. True 4G LTE actually faster than Verizon's towers. Now, 4 more rolled out this week.
All 8 of those towers are faster than...
Indeed. Indeed. Baltimore, Gainesville, Georgia... Junction City, Kansas, and Sedalia, Missouri are now live with true 4G LTE. And later this week, Texas will get more 4G coverage as well. Interesting. 4 to 5 more markets launching at once. There's a lot going on here. A lot of it I'm kind of torn for, being a Sprint user myself. Later on this week and next week...
Not really an active Sprint user right now.
Well, yeah, I have a destroyed phone, but that's aside from the point. They also mentioned 3G and giving more love to 3G. And that's kind of weird to me. Okay, they're still supporting 3G. I don't really know why. Instead of putting more power to the 4G towers, it never really made sense to me. So here's what's happening. Sprint says later on, at the end of 2013, they expect to have their new LTE network largely completed. That's 3 to 4 years after Verizon initially launched their 4G LTE service. It kind of raises a couple of questions. One, is the service... Right now you have phones that are 4G LTE capable. You can get them now. I can buy one today, being in a market that does not have 4G LTE.
Yes, the Evo 4G LTE, for example. Right.
I could buy that now, and then maybe by the end of 2013...
Sometime before the end of your contract.
I can use the phone.
It's a little surprising that they don't have, like, tri-band handsets.
Right?
Like, they have the tri-band...
aircraft.
Yeah.
But they don't. They only have the 4G LTE or 3G or the WiMAX or and 3G.
Right.
There's not a tri-band. It doesn't really make sense to me. The question I have on my mind is it worth the wait? It's faster. It's much more efficient, covers a broader scale, but right now it's only available in 15 cities.
Right, covering Sedalia, 65 people.
Sedalia, Missouri. I've never heard of this city until just now.
Obviously, it's a big market.
It would have to be, right?
Clearly, that's a joke.
And I mentioned this question when I wrote the article. I said, Sprint users, chime in. Let us know your thoughts. They're not lying about their 3G network being 4G, so that's a step in the right direction. They're
it's
not being
true.
T-Mobile going, hey, we have a 4G network and it's only 2G plus.
Right.
But is it worth having a phone right now that works 3G only for a year and a half more? Or switching over to somebody else that, while they limit your data, you still have fast speed?
Right.
We kind of had to make that decision ourselves and had to go with, you know, a 4G service and use the 4G service for streaming away.
It's true.
Would most people do that? A lot of Sprint loyalists are sticking around. I get it. I'm with you on that. I'm here. I see why.
But to be fair, I still have a 3G handset, so.
Indeed. But the 4G speed is just around the pasture. You know, you turn the corner and you're there. You have 4G, just not on your carrier. Is it worth the wait? I ask you, sir.
I am a bad example because I have done the calculations on how much data I push on my handset, and it far blows what any current LTE plan would allow me to have. So for me, no, I couldn't switch.
Right.
Because I blow that number every month.
Even on 3G.
Yes.
Which is crazy.
Yes.
You get 4G, you're done, sir.
I know.
You're at 50 gig a month.
So I am fully aware that I need that unlimited data. But most people don't seem to have a problem with it.
Yeah, I made this mention back in last November when Verizon was offering the 10 gig package. I said, if you're going to switch now. 10 gigs, that's twice the bandwidth. Now they don't have that anymore. Now you have the very simplistic, dumbed down packages where you get 2 gigs, 4 gigs, 5 gigs, that's it.
Mm-hmm.
I come close to about 9-10 gigs a month.
Right.
And I use a lot of Wi-Fi. And you do too. You're always connected to Wi-Fi. So is it really worth it? I don't know. So we'll have to see what happens. We'll have to see if Sprint can move faster than late 2013 to actually move forward with their network. And we'll have to see if users will stick around long enough to justify the new network. I just, I don't know. It's such a, I'm torn between logic and where my heart belongs. And my heart belongs with a good company, and Sprint is that company, but except for 4G. And that's kind of, it's kind of where I'm at right now. And Abram's chiming in.
I've been with him for 13 years now.
Yeah, I've been with since 05, so I'm not 7 years, but right when I turned 18, I got it. So
got it.
Abram says, don't use Sprint until they give you LTE. And I can understand from that standpoint why he would say that, but I'm torn.
I know.
Torn. And I want to know what you guys think, so let us know. Find us on Facebook at F5 Live Refreshing Technology. Find us and let us know in the comments what you think. Moving on. This week's Nifty Gifties on F5 Live. Hey, they are nifty.
They're Nifty Gifties.
Probably powered by SMS Audio. Look, if you want crystal clear audio, you want affordable pricing, and you want sexiness all wrapped into two things that go over your ears.
Sexiness?
Sexiness.
I heard sexiness.
Sexiness? You did too? Okay. Sexiness? That's fine. If you want that too, SMS Audio. Sync by 50 over ear wireless headphones are for you. You heard right. Wireless headphones. No cord needed to listen to pure 16-bit digital audio quality and by far, do they look sexy?
They have the sexiness.
They do have the sexiness right there. The best thing about the Sync 550s, not only do they come in an awesomely new, cool silver obsidian color, but you can stream one device, one transmitter to four wireless headsets. That's kind of cool.
It is.
And that's something that we were excited about at CES. We're excited about it now, but don't let us tell you. Be the judge for yourself. Pick up your pair today at f5live.tv. Click in the link.
In the center.
Get your music on your ears. Get the sexiness.
That's going to be a new thing, isn't it?
The sexiness?
The sexiness. Okay.
The Sync by 50s. They got the sexiness. It's true.
I don't quite know what to do with that. So
you can do something with WebOS.
Instead, I will talk about the weirdest topic we've ever talked about, and it hits so close to home because, well, this is why.
Part of the reason.
Indeed. HP, Palm, and WebOS, we talked about it last week. And the fact that HP has decided, oh, you know what? We're going to build this internal startup. We're going to call it Graham, which I don't know.
It's not very much.
The name I don't get, but whatever. I keep calling it Grip.
Why?
Because it's a four-letter word that starts with GR, and Graham is so obscure.
So is Grip.
Yeah, but it's something that's device centric, at least.
It could weigh an X amount of grams.
Oh, yeah, but
like
the new operating system doesn't.
The new headphones we were just looking at before the show only weigh 18 grams.
Indeed. So anyway, in reality, we've got this new internal startup.
Yep.
Graham. But there was still this question of, didn't they start a foundation, the Open WebOS Foundation or Open WebOS Project, right? And weren't they supposed to do something this month? And by this month, I mean August. Yes, in fact, they did. And that timeline hasn't changed either, making sure that they were not outdone by their for-profit counterpart, the Open WebOS Foundation, announced that they were keeping to their timetable, and the beta 1 of Open WebOS was released to developers this week.
You're kind of torn on this too. There's a lot of torn topics tonight. It's weird.
So there's a couple of things here. One, current WebOS devices will not be able to run it. Of course not. If the Classic Pre couldn't run 2.0, why would we expect any current devices to run essentially the same operating system? Including the touchpad, and the Pre 3, which do run the most up-to-date version, which is theoretically the same version of the operating system.
It can't run
whatever.
It.
Can't run it. Somebody will figure it out. You know they will.
Yeah,
if somebody figured out you could take the COM board out of a classic Sprint Pre and make it work,
a
Verizon Pre 2 run off that COM board and alter the operating system to make it work, there's no doubt in my mind that all of the current handsets will eventually get an update.
Well, it was one of the things that made WebOS and Palm shine. It was so modular. Everything was so modular.
Exactly. It was all incredibly developer-centric. All right. Sorry about that. Weird technical problems tonight. So anyway, my guess is that the existing devices will get it, but here's what's really interesting. You have two ways of running WebOS. One,
right.
If you have Linux installed on your computer, you can run it within a shell. So you can actually run it on a desktop, which of course means somebody will figure out how to make it the operating system on the desktop
right.
and not make you have to install full-blown Linux to be able to do embedded Linux. It doesn't quite make sense. But then on the other hand, they also released a embedded version, which is why I'm convinced that the current devices will eventually get it, because you can do embedded software now.
Right.
So that's pretty exciting. I think we mentioned it last week. I've got a couple of devices sitting on my desk right now that are completely useless despite having pretty modern hardware that I would love to get an operating system on. I don't care what. If somebody can get WebOS on there, awesome. If somebody can get Android on there, fine. Don't care. I would like to put these little touchscreen devices to use in whatever way I can. So if we can figure out how to get embedded WebOS on there, it sounds like a fun little project, which is exactly what we need, considering we have a television sitting out in the other room that is also a project.
We just like projects. We like little tinkering things all the time. So, I don't know.
So HP is going to run two versions of WebOS. At the same time, one open source, one internal. I have to assume that Graham is going to be, based on the Open WebOS project, or I have no idea.
It seems a little bit backwards.
It seems like HP has lost their mind.
As soon as HP bought Palm, I was like, yes, this will be so good. And then when the dust cleared, I was like, no, this is going to be so bad. I can just see it happening. And then we're like, touchpad. And I'm like, yes. Touchpad is going to be awesome. And then we're like, we're done with the touchpad. I'm like, what happened?
46 days in.
Why?
They gave up quicker than Microsoft did on Kin. At least that one made it 2 months.
Oh, yeah, it lasted 2 months.
A stupid product. To be fair, it wasn't a stupid product. It was Verizon screwed it up, but that's neither here nor there.
You know,
I don't like how they screwed that up, but I do like this guy.
I love this guy.
And that music in my head means that it's that
they
time.
Can hear it too, you know. It's
I
not
know.
Just in your head.
It is in my head, though. It's that time for the Pilch Point with Laptop Magazine Online editorial director Avram Pilch. This segment is proudly powered by the Tech Podcast Network. Avram, are you there?
Yeah,
he's in Germany.
Not anymore. No, I'm back. I'm just on German time.
Oh well, that's not better.
That just made my day.
When did you get back?
About 5 hours ago.
Oh my God, we're getting you right off the plane, huh?
Yeah, fresh. It's refreshing tech. Fresh. Fresh from Germany.
You got into the U.S. 5 hours ago, but you just got out of customs.
No, I just got out of bed.
Well, that makes perfect sense to me.
Maybe it was 6 hours ago. I'm losing track of time. But yeah, it's like 3:30 in the morning for me now,
which just means
I'm at my perfect time.
Yeah, you're ready to go. You're ready to talk tech news all day long.
Of course.
Let them know.
Especially at 3:30. I am Avram Pilch, the online editorial director of the Still in Business Laptop Magazine.
Good news every week.
Yeah, it keeps on giving. So you can read my columns every week at laptopmag.com/geeksgeek. Follow all of our news, including our IFA Berlin news, at laptopmag.com. Follow me on Twitter at Geek in Chief.
So before we get into IFA news, for it's about that time again to refresh people on that joke.
Yeah, we have to do it.
Around April Fool's Day, we had an April Fool's Day show because it was on a Sunday, and we tried to tag Laptop Magazine on Facebook, and it wasn't coming up for anybody, so we of course asked Avram if they were still in business or if it was some kind of terrible trick, and he's like, nah, Facebook just sucks. So
well, when we tried to go to their page, it even said the page you requested cannot be found.
Yes.
I was like, all right, well, that just means they're either out of business or it's an April Fool's joke. Avram has reassured us every week now that they are in business, and that's important to know.
Yeah, you know, I'm sort of like an EKG machine, a pulse machine for our business.
You have your finger on the pulse of Laptop Mag. That's good.
Well, we are the pulse of mobile technology.
It all works full circle. See, that's where we're at. IFA Berlin, you were out there. We couldn't be, so you had to. And you found some interesting things, right?
Yes. Did you know that jewelry stores are called schmucks over there?
I did not know that.
I learned that the other day, that the word schmuck there means jeweler or jewelry store. As I was taking a bus to the convention center, I passed a store with a picture of a diamond ring that said schmuck. And I asked some people who spoke German, and they said, yeah, that's here. Every jewelry store is a schmuck.
So I think your goal here is you're going to go to every country that you travel to, and you're all over the world all the time, and ask them what schmuck means in their language.
Exactly. Or I'll just call him a schmuck and see what happens.
So the only random odd German word that I know is that gift means poison.
Oh, I know that Schmetterling in the Vorken is butterfly in the sky.
Oh, and fart means trip. F-A-H-R-T means trip. So on the bus to the convention center, it said Sonderfart, like thunder fart. Actually, it means special trip. Indeed, it was quite special.
So, other than learning a little bit without the use of Rosetta Stone, Avram, we learned some interesting tech things that you're here to talk about as well.
Sure. Like any other tech show, there were obviously a lot of new products introduced, and some were really good and some were not so good. Obviously, there's a lot of emphasis because it's coming out soon on Windows 8 products, but there actually was also a lot of Android stuff shown at the show. And as this is sort of Europe's answer to CES, it wasn't like Mobile World Congress, which I've been to, where it's strictly a mobile show, or like Computex, where it's more sort of focused on computer hardware. This is really like CES in that it was all over the place. So we saw some really interesting TVs in addition to really interesting computer mice. I would have to say that one of the best things that I saw there was the Gila mouse, which is... You know, to talk about computer mice, which is, you know, a little bit of a niche category, but it's kind of interesting. This one has like 12 buttons that light up in four colors. It's like an Alienware keyboard that's a mouse, but it's not by Alienware. And, you know, kind of a neat thing for people who like the game. That's coming out soon for $99. Also, the Samsung Ative tablet is the first Windows RT, or among the first Windows RT tablets. And that was my first opportunity to actually use Windows RT the other day. And I can say from having used it, it looks identical to regular Windows 8, even having the desktop and almost all of the desktop applications that you expect to come with Windows, like Windows Paint and Notepad.
And Minesweeper.
Ah, no Minesweeper, no Solitaire. But you can get Solitaire for Metro, but there are modern UI or whatever it's called now. But the
you got to be careful because those Germans will sue you.
Yes, you can get. Well, thankfully, I'm out of there. But it's interesting to see the operating system and how I think that there may be some users who at first, if they don't know, realize what they bought, might get a strange surprise when they try to install desktop software, because there's no visual indication that you're running Windows RT instead of Windows 8 unless you go deep into the control panel and look at the system properties.
Right, right.
But it seemed to work really well. Another thing I saw that was kind of interesting to me is I saw a flexible screen e-reader from a Russian company called Wexler that is bringing it to the United States. It's called the Flex One e-reader. The sides of it bend a bit, but it doesn't bend all the way around like you would hope. And they told me they plan to charge €199 for it, and it is an e-ink display. So that's kind of pricey for something that, you know, is an e-ink display when we're used to getting a Kindle for $80 with e-ink.
Right.
But it's just kind of interesting to see that you could bend it a bit. Not totally. When I was at their booth trying to bend it, they're like, oh, don't bend it. It'll break. What? But you're counting it as being unbreakable. Well, or being hard to break. But it was interesting.
So did it feel more like a book with the ability to kind of bend it?
You know, you couldn't really bend it totally. You could just sort of bend the edges a bit. It's made more for durability. So they said that you could drop it like 12 meters or something and the screen won't break.
That's 36 feet?
Yeah. They said they've dropped it. They're not making that as a total claim, but they've dropped it as high as 12 meters, one of the guys told me. I thought that was kind of neat, just in theory, because I haven't seen that before. The obviously, a big theme at this year's show, you had, connected cameras. So Sony released a new Micro Four Third camera that has its own special Sony apps and has Wi-Fi. And of course, Samsung released or introduced the Galaxy camera. And that was kind of neat because it has all of the apps that you'll find on a Samsung Galaxy phone, but it runs Android. But just like any other Android thing, it has some issues. They had a lot of them out. I got to use them, and the camera app kept crashing, and the pictures were not particularly good. I have to give it to Samsung, though, because usually when you go and you demo a camera at one of these trade shows, you can take some pictures, you can look at them on the LED screen, the LCD screen, whatever, the display, the preview display on the back of the camera, and everything always looks good on the preview display on the back of the camera. It's when you email it to yourself and you actually see how crappy it looks that you realize the camera sucks. Yeah. Well, in the case of the Galaxy camera, several of the Galaxy cameras they had out at the Samsung booth were connected to Wi-Fi, and so I took some pictures with it and emailed them to myself, and lo and behold, they weren't that good. They had a lot of dark splotches in them, very noisy. Perhaps they'll fix those settings in time for release, but that was somewhat disconcerting. Another product I saw, which I think is kind of, you know, it's not kind of product we typically cover at laptop, but it just kind of blew my mind how antisocial it is Samsung's multi-view OLED TV. This is a TV, I don't know if you guys have seen this. This is a TV where you and your spouse or significant other can both look at the TV and watch different programs at the same time by wearing glasses and headphone sets, and they have it sort of interlaced with each other.
I've seen the images, and what a way to not spend time with your loved one.
So it's give or take, it's the same idea as the PlayStation television.
To a degree. I mean, with the PlayStation television, the game outputs two different images. Yeah, I guess, yeah, it's no different than a cable box or whatever.
Yeah, I mean, something's got to be splitting the image. It's the same concept as the PlayStation TV, except for the PlayStation TV, the idea is that we could both be playing the same game.
We could be doing the same thing
in the same
together.
Room.
Because we like each other.
This is the opposite of that.
Right. See, that's a social experience where you guys just won't be able to see what the other one is doing so that you don't see the guys coming up behind you or whatever. But the idea and the way that they marketed it was really freaky. Like, they had like a man and a woman. Yeah, so she can watch her thing and I can watch my thing. We could be sitting on the couch together. Oh, boy. That's
why.
That sounds exactly. Now,
why even be in the same room at that point?
I can see it for you, Avram, when Isaac gets older. It definitely see, going. That, I can watch my tech news, and he can watch Dora, and we'll be good.
Why are you going to be watching TV with his son?
But
we've already discussed this. He's kind of come down, and we're going to hang out and play video games.
Okay.
On the PlayStation TV.
Exactly. While he watches,
get it together, Scott.
While Isaac watches Dora. Yeah, that occurred to me after I realized how I thought about how antisocial it was. I was like, well, this way, my son could watch kiddie programs and I could watch adult programs or whatever. But it's it does seem like just a really odd idea, socially speaking.
A little bit.
One other thing I saw that was really kind of disturbing, not disturbing, it just was kind of expensive for what it was, is the Sony Vaio Duo 11. So a big trend that we're seeing now is slidable or slider Windows 8 hybrids. That is, these are tablets that slide open to reveal a keyboard, much like there are slider phones out there with keyboards. And the problem with these is that they're not really good at either being a tablet or being a notebook, because the keyboards tend to not be very good and the tablets tend to be really heavy when you have all of that attached. And I think the worst example of this that I saw was a Sony Vaio Duo 11. This is an 11.6-inch notebook that weighs, without its battery slice, and they all had battery slices there, like 2.8, 2.9 pounds. And then they kind of encourage you to get a battery slice so you can go from 5 to 10 hours of battery life. And that takes you up to like over 3 pounds, which is okay for a notebook. But, if you compare it to, say, 10-inch tablets that people carry around, like the iPad or a typical Android tablet, those are like less than half the weight. They're 1.2 or 1.3 pounds, and it felt really, really heavy. And the keyboard was like a toy keyboard. And do you know how much they want for the Sony Vaio Duo 11 that has a toy keyboard and is extremely heavy?
Three easy payments of $19.95.
That's what it should be, but in fact, they told us that they can't say for sure what it'll cost, but they're targeting around €1,199.
That's $1,400 here?
Yeah. Now, to be fair, my understanding is a lot of the time Europeans get ripped off, and the price that they pay in euros is what we pay in dollars, which is sad for them. But even if it were $1,199, that would still be very expensive.
Yeah.
For an 11.6-inch notebook that you can't, the keyboard is, it's smaller than a netbook keyboard.
What's the spec on it, Abram?
So it has some like normal specs in terms of it has Core i5 or Core i7 CPU. The screen is really nice, and it's a full HD screen at 11.6 inches. And it has, I think, a 128 or 256 gig SSD in it. But you can get a lot of those things for under $1,199, maybe not the full HD screen per se, on an ultrabook, and you'd have a good notebook. And for someone who really wants both a notebook and a tablet, well, you'll be able to do that because you'll probably be able to find a Windows 8 tablet somewhere that comes out for maybe $500-$600, get a notebook for maybe $500-$600. You'll have both. But the combination of the two of them together in the slider form factor is really quite annoying, and it doesn't really hang as a notebook either, because you can't really put it on your lap because the screen is sort of propped up it's not a lid with a hinge. It's sort of propped up with a little, like a picture frame almost. Mm. So Toshiba came out with one also. The Toshiba one had a better keyboard. It was called the Satellite 920T. And we've seen, I believe, there are a couple other companies that are doing this too, like MSI, that are doing this with a slider. And I have to say that while it looks interesting, I can't imagine people spending a lot of money on this and literally spending more than they would spend on a really premium product like a ThinkPad X1 Carbon or a MacBook Air, a really premium ultra-portable notebook. And then you've got this thing, which is really neither fish nor fowl. I think that's going to be a big flop.
And then what did you think about the HP one that didn't really slide, but instead popped out, and then you had the keyboard and then it popped out and you had the display?
That's a very common trend. So the NVX2 seems to have one of the nicer designs of the sort of decapitatable notebooks. Every time I see those, I mean, maybe you guys haven't watched Buck Rogers, but when I was a kid, I used to watch Buck Rogers, and there was this episode where this character could like take it, this alien guy could take his head off and like put it on a pedestal and put it back on again. I have no idea why he could do that. I swear they were they were inspired by that. So decapitatable notebooks or tablet hybrids seem to be a big trend. Lenovo has one, HP has one, Asus has one. I'm probably forgetting about three others. Acer has one. The Samsung. So it seems that everybody is coming out with this concept, and it's okay. But again, I question: is the keyboard good enough to be a notebook keyboard? And that's where they really have to deliver. And in the case of a lot of these, the typing experience just doesn't match up. Now, maybe I'm a bit of a keyboard snob. I know I am. But a lot of the times they're not giving you something like a really good palm rest to support your wrists, or the keyboard has flex. Like, I was really shocked. Lenovo is known for having the best keyboards around. And I was at their booth trying out their hybrid. I mean, their decapitatable tablet. And the keyboard was really flexy over there. Maybe it's just the model that they had, but wow, I mean, I couldn't believe that they would put that out. So I think that in a lot of cases, the kind of novelty of being able to switch around is overriding the usability of the product. And so people will buy these things. They'll be like, oh, isn't this neat? And then when they have to actually use it every day, they may be in for a rude awakening.
Yeah, it seems to be kind of the same thing we saw with the net vertibles, where you flip the screen around, lay it flat, and then it was a tablet, and then you put it back and it was a netbook. Kind of, I guess we're just getting that now with trying to merge the Ultrabook tablet type family together. I think it'll be the same thing. So all these bad things that you've mentioned, there are some good things that you saw, like the ebook reader. I have to ask you, what was best in show for you, Avram?
I really liked the Galaxy Note 2. I think that Samsung has made, I mean, there's certainly a question about whether a person would want a 5.5-inch phone, but it had, the pen support is really improved. They have some really neat software on there now where you can, obviously they've ported over some of the best features of the Galaxy S3, so you can have picture-in-picture video. You can do all kinds of multitasking on it. It's definitely a huge improvement. They have some really neat photo abilities. Like you can take pictures of different people, and you can sort of decide in a group shot whose head is the best. So So now it's like, if you have people smile, they have a feature that they're putting on the Galaxy camera, and I believe they're also putting it on their notebooks on the Galaxy Note, where you can take sort of several different shots and of a group picture, and then if you're smirking in one and he looks good in the other or whatever, then you can pick like hit to combine his head and your head into one from the different shots, the different frames that it took.
Right.
Seems to be the trend now in photography is to sort of create a version of reality that's better than real. Like, we're going to take the picture that you had and actually make it look better than that moment in real life. But I thought that's
augmented reality.
That is augmented reality, sir.
Exactly. I thought that was pretty neat. I thought that for $499, Lenovo's IdeaPad S400 is a really premium design. It's all soft touch rubberized material, which is how I would like my entire house to be. I would like my entire house to be made out of rubberized material, so I could just sort of bounce off the walls effectively. But that was really good, because you're getting an Ultrabook for $499. I think that, you know, there's just some interesting things too that you see when you go to a show like this. Did you know that Maxell makes its own line of tablets?
I did not know that.
They still do really good business in VHS and cassette, though, they told me. But in Europe, Maxell, the company that we all think of as a VHS and cassette company, now makes Android tablets, and they look pretty decent. So now,
do they make them, or do they make them?
They probably make them.
Got it.
But nobody makes anything.
True.
Samsung makes everything, actually, and then everyone else doesn't make anything. Seems that way, right?
They don't make them, but they sell them, and they don't exactly look like everybody else's, except for one of the new ones that's coming out, where the guy told me that the back of it is almost identical to an iPad. And he's right. I looked at it. It was the iPad back without the logo. Somebody better not, Apple better not see. So it's kind of interesting to see who else is kind of playing in the electronics game that you don't normally see when you're here in the U.S., seeing companies like Wexler, which is a Russian company that's going to be bringing their tablets and e-readers here, starting at CES. There's just a lot of interesting stuff that you see, but I think as far as the major companies coming out with things, the most interesting things I've seen are Samsung's. Were really coming, a lot of them from Samsung. They had the RT tablet, the Ativ, and of course they're really pushing the envelope with Pen with the Galaxy Note 2. And interesting that they're trying this thing with the Galaxy camera. It's just the models they had on display were not at all working it.
And hopefully we'll see at least some of the products actually work and sell instead of making a bunch of sliders that nobody buys and they're stuck with all this product. And it seems to be the case with a lot of companies doing that. So next week, Avram, hopefully we'll get another awesome list from you. I cannot wait to see what you have in store after you adjust back to American real time. We did learn just now, you'll enjoy this, Saturday in German is Samstag.
Oh, yes. Which I'm about to do is Ausgang.
Don't say that. That sounds dirty.
Does that mean pass out?
It just means exit. That's everywhere you go in Germany, you see a sign that says Ausgang. It means that's the way out.
Got it.
We saw on one of your pictures, the computer was in German, and it said
Samstag.
So
Saturday,
I had to know exactly what it meant because I couldn't remember what the 1st of September was.
I love German. It's really
angry sounding.
Yep.
No, it just kind of sounds cool. I enjoyed it. I definitely recommend Germany, especially for the food. Lots of meat.
That's always good. I need as much meat as possible at all times. Avram, give me your contacts one more time, buddy.
So you can follow me. You can follow me on Twitter at @GeekInChief. Read my weekly columns at laptopmag.com/geeksgeek and keep up with all the news, as there's going to be a lot of news coming in the next couple of weeks with lots of press conferences at laptopmag.com.
Yeah, like I said at the beginning of the show, we have Samsung, Nokia, and Amazon next week, so that should be a loaded week for you.
And IDF the week, and IDF Intel Developer Forum the week after that, and allegedly an Apple event, but we don't know for sure.
All right, we'll that sounds meaty, Avram. We'll see you next week.
See you next week. Bye, guys.
What? I don't understand.
I don't quite know what to do with that. I don't know if I liked it, but I do like us. And if you like us and you like what we do, you can have us do what we do best wherever you want us to do it. So if you have a live production you need assistance with, whether it be audio, video, broadcast, whatever you need, you can contact us at contact@plughits.com and we'll give you all the information. And if you're watching, you saw Nick take a drink, which means it's time for him to talk for a couple of minutes in this week's Weekly Upstream.
Every week I welcome your warm introduction. I appreciate it.
It's not a problem.
Thanks, Scott. Hey guys, this is Nick and I'm here keeping you plugged into the top stories for the week of September 2nd, 2012. This is your weekly upstream. A co-founder of top Swedish file sharing site The Pirate Bay, who is on an international wanted list, has been arrested in the Cambodian capital in his own Riverside apartment at Stockholm's request. Gottfried Warg was handed a one-year prison sentence by a Swedish court in 2009 for promoting copyright infringement, but failed to show up to serve his term at the start of this year. No word yet on whether he will be extradited to Sweden, serve time in Cambodia, or will his health, which deterred him from showing up to his own appeal in 2010, would make him too sick to serve any time. Despite rumors that OnLive CEO Steve Perlman would remain with OnLive 2.0 moving forward, this week we have learned that he has been replaced by COO Charlie Jablonski until the company finds a suitable replacement. Sources close to the matter have reported that Perlman's ego got in the way of the success of the company, and several employees have gone on record to say that they would not have taken jobs at the new OnLive had Perlman remained in charge. Because of the insane amount of popularity that came out of the Curiosity Mars rover, Peter Molyneux has decided to rename the upcoming game from 22 Can Studios, initially called Curiosity. The new name of the game, with help from his Twitter followers and hours of discussion at the office, will be Curiosity: What's Inside the Cube? The game, which originally was slated for an August 22nd release, has now been pushed back to, quote, sometime in September, with no specific reason as to why. All we know is that donations for the $50,000 pickaxe are willing to be accepted as of today. We await your money with open arms so we can bust down the Molly Cube. One of Microsoft's products has stopped servicing you this week, and you can no longer do it with your friends. We'll discuss this questionable statement in this week's DRM, not included. It's funny because we talked about meat just earlier. For all these stories and more, keep yourself plugged in to f5live.tv/theupstream all week long, or click that RSS button to follow the news as it happens on your phone, computer, or tablet, hybrid, convertible, book plus. I'm Nick Roth, and we'll be back next week with more of the top stories from across the world. This has been your weekly upstream.
Transfer complete.
Goodbye. You threw me off when you fuck off. I don't like that.
That's too bad.
This week's Extra Life section on F5 Live is proudly powered by the Microsoft Store, and rightfully so. Get the limited edition. Get the limited addiction. No, don't do that. That's wrong. Unless it's a Jane's Addiction CD, then it all makes sense. Get the limited edition Halo 4 Xbox console. Pre-order it now. You get the really cool console with the custom Halo 4 sounds, two custom designed Halo 4 controllers, and of course the game with exclusive DLC. For students, small businesses, or developers, go to the Microsoft Store now and get your game on at f5live.tv. Click in the links
in the center.
You know, I wrote the tease to the DRM not included before we started talking about things in Germany. I want to go on record to apologize for that.
I was hoping you were going to leave that up as it was, considering we're going to talk about that topic in just a minute.
It's so sad. I know what it says. I've done it on three computers now.
Mine will do it tonight.
But first, we have other stuff. Gaming news to talk about.
Yeah, let's talk about gaming news. Let's talk about excitement coming to Windows 8.
A lot of excitement, actually.
Indeed. In addition to really weird hardware.
Seems that way. And really cool hardware.
It's true. We have some really great hardware and some really strange. We also have an answer to the question, will there be more games on Xbox for Windows than just Wordament and Mahjong and Solitaire?
We were hoping that the Xbox Live transition to Xbox for Windows and all that wouldn't be just for those two games, right?
Right. That was three.
Three games.
We got the answer this week when Microsoft announced 40 titles.
They just hit them.
That they already know will be available on Windows 8 through the Xbox Marketplace.
Some of them were lucky enough, if you have the release preview, you can play some of them.
Or the final version, right? If you're a developer or a hardware manufacturer. Solitaire, Minesweeper.
Fruit Ninja, right?
Mahjong, Cut the Rope, the pinball game, which has been available the whole time.
But 40 total.
Are all available now. Yeah. But Adara, which is a game I've been excited about, will theoretically be available at launch. If you remember the original Myst, it's going to kind of be in that realm of play, which is exciting. Except it's going to be episodic. Hopefully they don't screw it up like some other games have. We'll just never release the last one.
Half-Life 3.
Angry Birds is going to be available.
Space!
Both the original and Space, so...
Space is not real.
Indeed. That's exciting, because they did make a big point about not being interested in developing for Windows Phone.
Right.
They've developed it for Windows 8. They have already developed it for Windows Phone.
Maybe they don't know.
So,
they probably don't know.
It's possible. Or they were just not going to develop it for 7, and they were already in the process of making it for 8.
That's likely.
So, two versions of Angry Birds, and a whole bunch of other exciting games. We've got some classic games, including Pac-Man, which is pretty exciting. Connectables.
Yeah, you can right now play it on Windows Phone, Connectables Unleashed, but it doesn't give you a lot. Now they've redone it and tried again.
Yes.
And that's kind of cool because it links into your original Connectables on Kinect.
Lincoln? What? LinkedIn? What?
That's different.
Ah.
And then, so don't get it twisted, though. There's not like these groundbreaking, graphically intensive games. These are fun games that are going to be out.
Right. That's really what it's all about. You know, they're really addictive, stupid, fun games.
It's kind of like the middle between social gaming and hardcore gaming, right? This is like that almost casual game.
Yes.
That you can play with your friends, too, but it doesn't require you to use energy all the time. It just allows you to play with friends.
When I saw a game titled Dragon's Lair in the list, I'm like, oh no, why is Lair coming to the... Oh, no, no, no.
I said the same thing.
That's something different. Thank goodness.
But a lot of good games. 40 of them. Now, the only issue is for me, and I know you mentioned this in your article, I hope it doesn't take as long as the first wave of media partners that we should have already seen all of them and still are missing one.
Do you remember which one we're missing?
Nope, doesn't matter anymore because I've wiped it from my brain. I'm so mad at them.
It's more than a year out from the announcement.
Yes, exactly.
We just got manga.
Yep. And still hasn't been updated.
We're hoping that that's not the case here.
Different development studio, I'd imagine.
Well,
games instead of media partners. A lot less licensing, I would imagine.
Well, yeah, but I mean, it still requires as much development. Well, probably more so than I want to stream videos from a site I already run.
Yeah.
You should be able to put together a simple front end and publish it.
Not if you're a Microsoft, apparently. A
couple weeks. It's not Microsoft that's building them.
Fair.
It's the partner's fault in that case. But, yeah, hopefully we won't see that same problem with the games. Hopefully they'll all be available at launch.
Like launch week, like, right? Like,
fingers crossed. I really want to play at least the first episode of Adara.
And it's part of that. It's part of getting the average tablet user who's going to buy RT to play the games.
Yes.
And if they're not available, you lose the casual market.
Absolutely. And since the Xbox for Windows is on the modern UI side, it means it's available, period.
Right.
So that's exciting.
Then it's kind of cool to be able to play some of the games that are listed here and have them affect your Xbox Live gamer score.
Yes.
That's kind of cool, having that cross-platform.
I have been getting Xbox achievements for playing Solitaire and Mahjong.
Yeah, word of it. I'm good to go. 30 achievements.
That is exciting, far as I'm concerned.
So we'll see. I just hope.
Yeah.
Launch day, have 20 to 30 of them.
I was going
to
say, at least half, if not more. Because, you know, probably just episode one of Adara will be available.
Maybe just regular Angry Birds.
Sure, maybe not space, because maybe they give you the original one for free like they do on this one.
Yeah, because no mention on pricing, right?
Right, no mention of pricing.
Just the games.
But I will tell you that all of the games that are on this list that are available now are all free.
Right. So let's hope.
Fingers crossed, right?
Yeah.
It'd be nice to see that many free titles on Windows 8, but it won't happen.
No.
I'm fine with that.
Are you?
I am.
Yeah. I'm not fine with this, though. Talk about this. This week's DRM not included on F5 Live is proudly powered by SiriusXM Satellite Radio.
Summertime and the listening's easy. Save $20 to $80 on radios for your summer road trip, backyard barbecue, or jogs through the park. Plus, free shipping on orders of $49.99 or more. And Nick's got a great way to get to $49.99. Real quick.
It makes me sad to keep saying this every week, but look, the XM Express RCI, I have one, and I was a moron. I paid $170 for it. Don't be dumb like me.
For sure, don't be dumb like him.
Pick one up at the outlet. Look, $50, you're in with the same thing. It just says recondition. All that means is somebody got outsmarted by it, most likely Robbie's mom, got outsmarted by it, said, look, I can't figure this out. I'm sending it back.
I feel bad for her.
I know, right? With the plastic on.
You don't even know her, and you keep harassing her.
I know, it's insane why I do that. I don't really know. But
Sometimes the plastic is still on the device like it's never been touched, and the pass the savings on to you.
At least not by American Hands.
No, guaranteed. So save $120. Get it now. The best radio on radio.
Except for us.
F5live.tv. Click the link.
In the center.
Over there.
No, not over there. Over there?
Right there.
Right
above,
key.
Right above your head.
Woo.
For those watching. It's the best part. All right, sad news. I'm just going to say it. Zune is done.
It's very sad.
Done talking.
We have the software running on one of our, at least one of our computers here in the studio. I've got it.
And it just gave me the warning again.
Yes, hey, while we were sitting here. Hey,
during the weekly upstream, features are gone. Yeah, features are gone that you're used to loving and knowing all so well. Please do not cry as you hit the OK button.
Yep.
I'm paraphrasing, of course, but yes. I think that's what it said.
Give or take.
I'm pretty close, right?
Yeah. They have dumped a lot of things out of the software, primarily because, as we know, the Zune brand is being merged into Xbox for Windows as well.
We always wondered what was going to happen with the actual player. Now we know. It's probably just going to end up being an Xbox Music player.
And eventually, it'll probably get rebranded. But all of the social things and the features that made Zune so unique, you know, like Ping, but without the pedophiles.
I could message my Xbox friends from my Zune.
Yeah.
Which was always awesome.
Was
and
cool.
Send them music to go download if they had Zune Music Pass. And I can't do that anymore.
You could deal with your friend requests and stuff without having to log into the...
No more MixView, which I'm so PO'd about that. No MixView.
That was the best part.
You can still do Smart DJ, but no MixView. No channel playlists, no more apps for Zune HD. All this happened on the 31st, so at the end of the...
So, if you have a Zune HD, I hope you downloaded all of the apps.
I did.
Before it went away.
I went and loaded all of them. Even the ones I don't even use. I was like, I need these later. Maybe not. I don't care. I haven't used my Zune HD in like 6 months. Doesn't matter. I need these. I can't purchase...
I downloaded all the apps that were available for the classic Zune as they were kind of shutting down, too.
If you are thinking about upgrading your PC, you cannot re-download, reactivate, or relicense any music videos you previously purchased.
Ooh,
I should mention that. That
Yuck.
Sucks. So figure out how to get those. Purchasing music videos or streaming them as part of Zune Music Pass from Zune PC software, can't do that anymore. So,
but on the Xbox.
On the Xbox you can, yeah.
Fascinating.
These changes will not affect music streaming or downloading as part of Zune Music Pass, impact songs that you have purchased from the Zune Marketplace, or change your ability to stream music videos on Xbox 360. That's what they said. So basically, they're moving the software side out.
Boy, it seems like they would have phased this out as they rebranded the Xbox in October.
You would have think, yeah.
Obviously, that's not an official announcement from me or anybody else, but everything else is getting its refresh the week of October 26th.
So I think this is in prep.
My guess is that the Xbox will too, but
there's probably some back-end stuff that had to happen for that to all kind of
the
occur.
The Xbox is still working, so...
Yeah, I don't know. I'm just trying to justify because I'm so sad.
I know.
A lot of our colleagues are upset. We shed a tear.
We have all had some sort of a Zune-branded thing at some point, so...
Because while the music player may have not done as well, the software was...
It was at the end of the life of the concept of a standalone music player. So it makes sense that that didn't succeed
at the time.
But
the music player was far better than anything. I mean, just the simple fact that I'm looking right now on my screen and I have the ability to hit this little mini view and I got it out of my way.
Right.
But I still have all the pertinent information in front of my screen.
Indeed.
I can play Avram's closing music
when I want
to. The
beginning of Live Tiles.
All of that was just so monumentally different for the company. And to see it go is kind of sad. And we know most of it will end up in, like, Xbox Music. That's all well and good. But
It was the beginning of what we now know of as Metro or Modern UI. So it certainly served its purpose.
I loved, and I'll just reminisce for a second right here. I loved when I got my Zune HD, like, 2 years ago, whatever it was, right? I came home to you. I was like, Scott, I got the Zune HD. And I flipped the thing, and you're like... Ooh, look at these tiles. I'm like, isn't this the coolest concept ever?
Yep.
And then what happened like 2 months later? Live Tiles. I was like, oh, that's where you got it from.
Got it.
Microsoft has always done things like that where they implement something in a smaller product and go, does this make sense? Yes. Windows 8.
Windows Phone 7. Windows Phone 8. Windows 8. Xbox dashboard.
Yeah, and that's kind of...
We got this concept. No problem.
I miss them. So, moment of silence. Ready? That's our show.
It is.
Our show.
Our show.
Our show right here. I won't do it. All right, that's fine. F5Live.tv, click the subscribe buttons on the right-hand side, audio, video, social, special events. Thanks for listening or watching or putting up with us. Whatever it is that you do, we appreciate it. Many thanks to Avram Pilch, who is still on Berlin time.
Ooh, that's rough.
We wish him a meaty sweet dreams.
Oh, my. We should have Sulu Sound Club. Oh, my.
Next week, a lot of announcements, so make sure you're tuned in to F5Live.tv as the week progresses. Make sure you're getting all of the content as it happens. That's about it. That's all we got. Many thanks, Dave. He's awesome. I wasn't sure if he was going to be awake or out of customs.
I was a little concerned that he wasn't going to be able to make it to the show.
Shout out to Abram. All right, guys. On behalf of the set that's not here, I'm Nick.
I'm Scott.
We'll see you guys next week. Peace. Chicken grease.
Ciao.
I still say that. 273 episodes in.
I know.
You say ciao.
I do.